ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸಾರ ಸಂಗ್ರಹ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 123. ಯದ್ಯದುಕ್ತಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಶಾಸ್ತ್ರೇ ಶ್ರವಣಾದಿಕಮೇಷು ಯಃ ನಿರತ ಕರ್ಮಧೀಹೀನ ಜ್ಞಾನನಿಷ್ಠ ಸ ಏವ ಹಿ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ಅಪ್ ಟು 13 ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ 18 ಎನ್ಯುಮರೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ, ನೇಮ್ಲಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯಂ, ಅಹಿಂಸಾ, ದಯ, ಅವಕ್ರತ, ವೈತೃಷ್ಣ್ಯಂ, ಶೌಚಂ, ದಂಭವಿವರ್ಜನಂ, ಸತ್ಯಂ, ನಿರ್ಮಮತ, ಸ್ಥೈರ್ಯಂ, ಅಭಿಮಾನ ವಿವರ್ಜನಂ, ಈಶ್ವರ ಧ್ಯಾನಂ, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದ್ಭಿಃ ಸಹ ಸ್ಥಿತಿಃ. ನೌ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ದಿ 14th ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ಈಸ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ 14th ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ಈಸ್ ಎನ್ಯುಮರೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 105 ಇಟ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾರ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ನೇಮ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಶಾಸ್ತ್ರೈಕ ಏಕಪರತ. Meaning one-pointed commitment. That's what we said at that time. And Jnana Shastra means spiritual literature, commitment. And Eka Parata is to the exclusion of all other things. During Shankaracharya's time, committed Vedanta pursuits were undertaken only by sannyasis. The Vedantic teaching was not made available publicly. And this kind of Vedantic class were not permitted also. And followed. If at all discourses took place in the olden days, the Pauranikas were encouraged to talk about Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and values together called the Dharma Shastra. And Satkarmani, what are noble karmas, Sadgunaha, what are noble values and Sadbhavanaha, what are the noble attitudes. So Satkarma, Sadguna, Sadbhavana, generally called Dharma Shastra. Otherwise called Karma Upasana Yoga, alone must be brought to the public those days. Not Vedanta, Mahavakyam, Aikyam, Tvampada Vichara, none of those. So they never made all this available. These were kept exclusively for sannyasi or those, you know, brahmanas who are promoting the study of scriptures. Scholars studied those shastras as part of their scholarship. And since that were prevalent during Shankaracharya's time, whenever Acharya writes about these values, he keeps a sannyasi only in his mind. Therefore, he always says, always be in Vedanta only. When you listen to it, you may wonder, if you are going to be all the time in Vedanta, who is going to run my house? Who will work in the company? There are so many duties for me to perform. So Acharya did not envisage grahasthas studying Vedanta in that setup. That is why he writes ekaparata. Ekaparata means commitment to shastric study to the exclusion of all other pursuits. Nowadays, we will have to adjust and try to find as much as possible to attend the class regularly. And also between classes also, if possible, locate the book first and then try to revise it also on a lighter side. So this is the maximum the teacher can expect from the student. If he asks for more, they may perhaps stop coming to the class also. So just as Prajapati respected Indra, you know, we just concluded the Prajapati Vidya in Chandogya. And so Indra and Virochana, so the modern day teachers also should adjust. So instead of exclusive commitment, we have to say as much as possible. And what is that? He says, Yadyat Uktam Jnana Shastre. Whatever has been taught in the Jnana Shastra, we are actually introducing so many Sanskrit words in so many places to remember all of them. So, Drishyatvam, Bhautikatvam, Sagunatvam, Savikaratvam, Agamapayinatvam, all that thing. So, four features of Karanam, Eka, Sara, Nitya, Satyam, all that, many concepts, many Sanskrit words. So, if a student must remember all of them, to understand, we require them so that we develop familiarity with those words. All of them require commitment. Otherwise, teacher has to explain every word. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampasi, you say, the student will bring. Again, teacher has to start from Viveka, Vairagyam, A for apple, and define each one of them. So imagine every day the teacher has to define everything. Then the teacher cannot move forward at all. Therefore, student has to try to remember the words and concepts as much as possible. Therefore, yadyat jnana shastre uktam. Whatever is said in the jnana shastras, nice to have actually a glossary of terms ourselves. Like at the end of the book, there will be a glossary in alphabetic order. So we can have our own glossary also. So yadyat jnana shastre uktam, like shravanadikam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, nirataha. Mentally engaged in that teaching, it can mentally be engaged if you are young, engaged. As we grow old, remembering also becomes difficult. All those things are there which the guru has to take into account when he teaches. Therefore, nirataha, engaged in that. And karmadhihinaha, not involved in too many extrovert activities, karma, because it will make the mind preoccupied. We cannot completely cut off the activities because we have several duties as a grahastha. Therefore, those duties have to be taken care of. But where we can reduce them, where there is a choice, we can reduce and use that time for shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So, karma dihinaha, obsession with karma. Hinaha means without. So, karma stands for both worldly activities or even ritualistic activities, also religious activities. There are many people who love big rituals for puja. They spend 5-6 hours or for Vedic rituals. They are used initially. They are very useful in the beginning to concentrate and bring up a discipline. After some time, they themselves become an obstacle. Why? Because you have to plan. This is to be done, that is to be done, that person has to be contacted. Therefore, mind gets preoccupied. We cannot close the eyes for even 1 minute because the mind will be wandering. It will be wandering all the time. Therefore, karma dihinaha. Shankaracharya keeps a sannyasi in the mind. So here it is reduction of extrovertedness. Saha eva jnana nishta. Here the word jnana nishta must be understood as jnana yoga nishta. Such a person is a committed practitioner of jnana yoga. Continuing, shloka 124. Dhanakanta jvaradinam praptakale sukadibihi vikarahinataivasyat sukaduka samanata. So the 15th value is mentioned in shloka 108, and that value is samatha. Samatha means equanimity, mental poise, mental balance. And what is mental balance? Life is full of varying situations because our prarabdha karma is regularly unfolding. And in the case of a human being, not only prarabdha karma, some of the agami karmas also. Now, what is the agami karma? In the current janma, whatever karma I have done, some of them can produce good and bad results in the current janma itself. Prarabdha is the palam of previous janmas. So, agami is the palam of the current janma actions. So, both of them are unfolding regularly and both of them are invisible. Next to 1 hour, what is going to happen, we do not know. And the prarabdha is always a mixture. And so, matra sparshastu kaunteyam shitoshna sukha dukkada. So, they are going to continuously flow, as Krishna said. So, no human being can stop it. Therefore, since karma cannot be changed, better to change our mind. Where the world cannot be changed, use that energy to change our mind. If rain cannot be stopped, I can at least put a raincoat or have an umbrella. So, whenever world or situations cannot be changed, instead of wasting my time and energy complaining, I start working on my mind so that it is strong enough to reduce the negative impact and dilute it also. That is called Nityancha. In the 13th chapter, Nityancha Samachittatvam Ishtanishta Upapattishum. So, the best method Bhagavan has given in the Bhagavad Gita is Ishvara Prasada Bhavana. Even as you are starting the day, you give a message to the mind. Whatever comes today, O Lord, give me the strength to accept without resistance. Because my karma palam, who has to go through? I have to go through. Since I have to go through my karma palam, I am certainly willing to go through this. I will not complain to anyone. I only pray to you today. Today's morning prayer is for today's management. What about tomorrow? Let us see. Tomorrow we will start tomorrow morning. Again we will charge the battery, praying to the Lord. Today I should be able to accept whatever prarabdha brings to me. This toughening of the mind is to withstand the ups and downs and maintaining mental balance. Sugadukhem same kritva labha labhav jaya jayav tato yuddhaya yujyasvam naivam papam avapsyasi. That's what Krishna said to Arjuna. This is otherwise called karma yoga, that method of keeping mental balance. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Therefore, he gives a few examples. Dana, kanta, jwaradinam, praptikale. Some examples for unpleasant situations and some others for pleasant situations. For example, dhanam. Dhanam means wealth. When wealth comes, it is a pleasant situation. Then other extreme is jwaram. Fever represents unpleasant situation. Nobody enjoys fever. One example for pleasant and another for unpleasant situation. And Shankaracharya places, Swamiji makes it a jocular thing here, he places kanta in the middle. Kanta means spouse, wife. Or it can be taken as husband also, as the case may be, the spouse. So he intelligently places in the middle. Depending on the type of spouse, you can add it either to the left-hand side or to the right-hand side. Whether Shankaracharya thought it or not, Swamiji interprets it that way. Okay, if the spouse is a welcome one, then it is called Dhana and Kanta together. We can read it together. Then Jwaraha is a separate one. If Kanta is terrible, causing fever, then Dhanam in the left-hand side and Kanta and Jwaram on the right-hand side. One can decide oneself for based on one's own experiences about the spouses. So Dhana, Kanta, Jwaradina. When such situations come, prapta kale sukhadibihi, the natural response of the mind is sukham or dukkham. Because when pleasant situations come, mind responds with happiness. When an unpleasant situation comes, mind responds unhappily. This is common. But Acharya says, learn to balance them, manage them. Don't get totally lost with pleasurable situations alone. Over-rejoicing or over-elation is also not correct, because good situations also are not permanent. Therefore, elation also is not good. Similarly, when negative situations come, sorrow cannot be avoided. Let us learn to tone down or manage that also. Both do not overpower me. Not allowing them, both happiness and unhappiness, to overpower is the discipline that is taught here. Vikarahinatha, reduction of mental disturbance. In Swamiji's language, it is reduce FIR. He calls it, he uses an acronym FIR. F means frequency, and I is the intensity, and R is the recovery period from a situation. All three must gradually come down, and they should be replaced by three C's. And the first C stands for calmness, second C comes for cheerfulness, and third C stands for confidence or courage to deal with the situation. So these three must gradually increase. I am prepared for the world today and in the future also. So karma dihinaha, avoidance of over turbulence of the mind, is called sukha dukkha samanata. And remember, we are not going to avoid them totally. That is why Swamiji calls it FIR reduction. FIR, we just now told, frequency, intensity, and recovery period. That reduction. You can never eliminate happiness and unhappiness. These feelings are natural to the mind. Mind is mind only when these feelings are there. So because mind is designed to have feelings, emotions, feelingless mind is a rock, and Vedanta never wants to convert into rocky human beings. Human feelings are natural. Human feelings are beautiful also. But never allow any one of them to overpower you. Our Viveka Shakti be intact even when in painful situations. In the entire Ramayana, Rama's life shows how to maintain Dharma even when the situations are painful. So this is called Samanta. With this, the 15th value is also over. Now we will see the 16th volume in Shloka 125, which was given in Shloka 107 earlier. What is the name there? Mana anasaktihi. Mana means honor, respect, admiration. Expecting them from others is called asaktihi. So always looking for admiration, honor, praise from others. Especially if you get praise a few times when we are never used to do. We always expect. In some houses, we never get any praise at all. We get only the opposite, archanas. That is not a problem. But if you are used to getting praise here and there, naturally, the mind will look for that. This looking for praise is called asaktihi. And Acharya says, anasaktihi, not having a longing for praise or admiration from other people. And even if it comes, immediately hand over that either to the Lord or to the Guru. And what will the Guru do? He will hand it over to his Guru. Who will hand it over to his Guru? And ultimately, it will go to the Adi Guru, Bhagavan, safely. And this is Mana Anasaktihi. Now let us read Shloka 125. Sreshtam Pujyam Viditva Mam Mana 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 Yantan Mana Yat Mana Yantan Tu Janabubim Ityasaktyabihinatvam mananasakti ruchyate. Now we have entered into the 16th value, which is defined in Shloka 107. And what is the 16th value mentioned there? Mana anasaktihi. Literally the word manam means honor or respect. Like, you know, garlanding, glorifying a person, worshipping a person, Pada Puja, Purnakumbam, all come under honor. Opposite of apamanam, opposite of that is apamana. So mana, apamana. Mana means honor from others. Asaktihi means craving for that acknowledgement from others, respect from others. Anasaktihi means the opposite of that. So not craving for honor and respect from other people. We need not seek apamana, but we neither seek manam nor we seek apamana. So, whether we seek or not, according to our prarabdha karma, both are going to come, mana and apamana. Some will respect and some will not respect. And they come according to prarabdha. We try to practice, as Lord Krishna says, mana apamana yoho tulyaha, tulyo mitrari pakshayoho, sarvarambha parityagi gunatita sauchyate, tulya nindastuti mauni santushto yena kena chite. Krishna said in all these shlokas, I don't invite apamanam, I don't crave for manam also. This neutral attitude welcomes all experiences as Ishvara Prasada. Because according to the karma, Bhagavan is going to regularly give both pleasant and unpleasant experiences. And it can happen in our own family. As we grow older, our contribution to the family becomes less and less. Sometimes we can become what? A load on the family also. Then they may not respect us, or behind our back they may say, when will he leave? When will we be free from this? All that they will be talking. So we may have to face all of them. We need not look for that, they will come. Have a mind which is ready for all those situations, because we might depend on others, even though psychologically we may become independent. Jnanam only promises internal independence. Jnanam never promises external independence also. Even the greatest jnani, after a particular age, may require a stick for walking. Or he may require the help of somebody else to move. Or he may even become bedridden. Jnanam does not save us from external dependencies at all. That is why we said, Jnanam removes Sanchita Karma. Jnanam avoids Agami Karma. Jnanam cannot handle Prarabdha Karma. Prarabdha may lead to dependence. Nobody can stop it. We should be ready for that dependence also. God forbid, if we become dependent, some may be served with a smile, some may not be served also. So we should be ready to drop both. For that, the preparation is either go through this thing or jnana. If you are in triangular format, the solution is what? If you are in the five, Ishvara, all that thing. If you are in the binary format, the solution is jnana. So we have to be ready. Therefore, the value is don't crave for respect. So that is this. take the full spiritual training in the ashramas. It seems Swami Sinmayananda once said, don't go out stretching the leg for any pada puja to all the would-be sannyasis. Your opportunity in society is for sadhana. Even teaching is a form of sadhana only. Never, never develop arrogance. I am a teacher, I am a guru, I deserve respect. So all those things Swamiji used to teach, it looks. Be humble. That is the indication given here. So the thought of a person craving for respect is mentioned here in the first line. And in the second line, he says, don't do that. What does he say? Janaha mam manayantu. The thought of the respect, the worship craver, manayantu. Let everyone respect me, honor me, adore me, do pada puja to me, give purnakumbam to me, garland me, is manayantu. And how should we do that? Knowing I am great, so shreshtam pujyam mam viditva. Society might recognize me as shreshtaha. Great and noble person, mahan, and pujyam, that I am worthy of worship. I deserve honor and puja, viditva. Thus, recognizing my glory, janaha mam manayantu. May the people honor me, where? Bhuvi. Bhuvi means everywhere. Not only here, wherever I go, I should be honored. This is within inverted commas. Shankaracharya says, avoid that. Iti asaktya. Satcha asakti, deep craving, vihinatvam. Freedom from such a craving and rejecting such a thought is called mana anasakti. In simple language, not only humility must be there should not be seeking of any honor or respect also. And even if by chance honor comes, generally what happens is when a person becomes more and more humbled, he doesn't demand respect. But what happens? He begins to command respect. And even if he doesn't want, wherever he gets, he goes, he will get it. Then also Shastram warns us, if at all honor comes, never take it for yourself. Immediately hand it over to your guru. Transfer that to your guru. Guru hands over to his guru and ultimately to Lord, who deserves all honor. Therefore, not only Lord gets the honor, we will be free from spiritual fall also. Taking the honor as my honor will lead to spiritual fall. It seems one Swamiji jokingly said, if someone does pada puja and you receive it as your own puja, remember they don't worship your legs, they are pulling your leg. It is only jocular expression. The idea is you will fall down. This is the 16th value. Now we will go to the 17th value in Shloka 126. Let us read. Sachintanasya sambadho vignoyam nirjane tataha seyam ityeka evasti chetsai vaikanta shilata. So the 17th value enlisted in the 107th shloka, where it was titled, is Ekanta Shilatha. Taking to seclusion whenever possible and not getting lost in the company of people, socializing, all that thing. But it should not become an addiction. One can socialize. Should not become an addiction to that extent that I am not able to be alone. And whenever such a situation comes, I immediately look for getting out and seeking the company of people, either seeking physical company or these days cell phone. This getting lost in the company of people is an obstacle to spiritual growth. Lord Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter. Vivikta desha sevitvam aratirjana samsati. Samsati means company of people, ratihi, reveling. So all the time cutting jokes and drinking and eating and going out, hanging out, having a lot of time. This is interesting, all right, but never get addicted to that. Friendship is wonderful. Socialization is a must, especially when a person is part of the society. For a sannyasi, it is banned. No socialization allowed for a sannyasi. But for a grahastha, it is allowed, but not overdoing, because in the company of people, we become more and more extrovert. We will never have an opportunity to look into our own mind, our own personality. No opportunity for introspection at all. Introspection is a very important thing to understand where I stand. What are my weaknesses? I should know. Only when I identify my weaknesses, I can work on rectifying them. Therefore, now and then, seek seclusion. Go for a walk, go to the beach, and sit there for some time. Don't seek company all the time. This is possible only when we understand that it is an obstacle for spiritual thoughts. That is what is said here. Sambada, in the first line. Sambada means crowd or groups of people, company, assembly of people. Janasamsadi of the 13th chapter. The same thing as Sambada here. So the same idea is referred to here. So here it is Sambada, crowd is Vignaha, an obstacle. Constant company of people is an obstacle. Obstacle for Satchintanasya. Satchintanam means noble thoughts. Sat can be taken as noble or can refer to Brahman also. Sadeva Somyam Idamagra Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. So these are all shlokas familiar to us. So Sat means pure existence also. Therefore, Satchintanasya can be translated as noble thoughts or Brahman thoughts. So both meanings are okay also. So for this Brahman thought, Vigna, obstacle, is Sambada, assembly, crowd or company. And that is why you will find between two classes also, if you had many activities, lot of interaction takes place. No time even for revision of the subjects. So even if it is there, mind is not free because we have to plan so many other things. Either you will be in the thought of a host to entertain people at your home or in the as a guest when you go somewhere. So if you have to be a guest, what should I wear? 1 week before itself, what dress I should wear, it is all chosen. To wear this or not, green, yellow, green, what will match with what? Last moment changes, that is why sannyasis have no choice, only one dress. So Monday, what dress? Tuesday, what dress? Same dress. Everything is only that kavi. Therefore, a lot of socialization will make one more body, a person more body conscious and interaction conscious. So, anyontara atma pranamayaha tenesha purnaha, all that thing will not get into him at all. When that is not there, where is the question of manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, all that. Therefore, tataha, for a spiritual seeker, that is the condition. If not a spiritual seeker, we don't tell all those things at all. But if a person is a spiritual seeker, all these have to be followed. For all others, that is why Shankaracharya addresses sannyasis. But we make it to everybody who is a spiritual seeker, even if he is a grahastha or brahmacharya also. So therefore, nirjane steyam. May you take a seclusion now and then. Steyam means seclusion. One should take to nirjana, where no people are there, seclusion. And in this Gita, in his Gita commentary also, Shankaracharya gives an exception. Where one can have company of people. He gives an exception where one can have company. But what kind of people? Those who will talk about anyantaratma pranamayaha, anyantaratma manomayaha, such people. Not the people who discuss the type of dress or ornaments and those kinds of laukika things. Don't combine with dress discussion, ornament discussion with those people. Only the atma discussing people should be a company. That is what Ashankara said to people like sannyasi. That company will be known by a name, Satsanga. Satsanga is okay. But often what happens? People join together for planning, for doing something else for Satsanga. 5 minutes Vedanta, they talk, then it becomes completely different topic. What is your son-in-law doing, daughter-in-law doing, where they are married, where they are here. So no family discussions at all. We should completely avoid family discussions. If at all, discuss this, otherwise depart. That is what his advice is. Of course, it all, you know, we have to take all those things based on our own practical limitations. That is Shankaracharya's ruthless instruction. So, eka eva asti, safe and remaining ekaha, alone. Learn to stay alone. And this is not done once, but it should be done every now and then. One has to practice it. It seems Swami Chinmayananda used to conduct camps in Siddhabari. Vast, it's a very vast area, beautiful area, nature is very beautiful, lot of rivulets and all that thing, so beautiful place. So evening, you walk and think on the classes, he used to instruct people to walk and think on the classes that went by. And Swamiji tells to walk alone. And you know what all the campers used to do those days? When they go out of the campus, they go one by one. And they will fix the place of meeting 1 or 2 kilometers away. And there they will be a group of 2, 3 or 5. And what discussion? not Siddha Bhari, but so many other things. So Ekanta Shilata should be a habit. Continuing, these are all Swami Chinmayananda, they are all narrating all this. Shloka 127. Samsara bandha nirmuktihi kadha jatiti me bhavet iti ya sudhrdha buddhihi irita samu mukshutam. Now the 18th and the final virtue, which is called mumukshuta, that is discussed here, which occurs in Shloka 107. Even though mumukshutvam is going to be separately mentioned later as the fourth main qualification, but still Acharya says that is important as a means for shama. And so he enumerates and defines separately. And what is mumukshutvam? Desire for liberation, which is freedom from samsara. And samsara or bondage is defined in several ways. The common definition of samsara, which can be understood by most people, is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, that cycle, freedom from that cycle. And this cycle is called samsara, and desire for freedom from that is moksha. So either a person is afraid of death, or a person is afraid of rebirth, or a person is afraid of both. So these are the general tendencies. Therefore, in the first line, Acharya defines the thinking of this seeker. So, samsara bandha nirmuktihi. Freedom from the bondage of samsara. Samsara is mortality. Kada me bhavet. When am I going to discover that? There must be an anxiety. There must be an urge for finding that. Not casual urge, but it should be tivara mumukshutvam, serious urge. They give the example of a person whose head is underwater. His struggle for breathing is how intense? Somehow or the other. Suppose there you talk about sadhana chatushtaya sampatti to him. And all he will say is, no sadhanam or chatushtayam, I am not able to breathe. Let me be out. Just as a person underwater desperately looks for breathing, similarly, the desire for freedom must be a deep craving. That is why jatiti, how quickly I will get, not relaxingly. Whenever it comes, let it come. It is Bhagavata's problem. No. Therefore, not a casual approach. How quickly will I be able to get mumukshutvam? Iti sudhrida buddhihi. This firm thought, this firm urge, this intense craving for liberation is called tivra mumukshutvam. That is why the desire also, they will classify into manda, madhyama, tivra, all that. When we take food 3 or 4 times a day, we don't know what is hunger. Then why are you eating? That is my lunchtime. We eat because it is lunchtime, not that I'm hungry. Therefore, a person doesn't have desire for eating. Generally, it is the time of eating. And spouse says, finish, I have to wash the vessels. Therefore, we don't know how we will look for food if we haven't eaten for a few days. That is called the tivra mumukshutvam. So within the 18 virtues, there is a karanam for shama. The karyam, karya karana sambandha. Between values and shama has been shown. So, and with this, the topic of shama is also over. So where did this topic start? From shloka 100 up to shloka 126 is shama. And now comes, these are all various virtues associated with this. And now comes the next topic of dhamma. All these are what? The sixfold internal disciplines. Shamadi, shatka, sampattihi. Shama, dhamma, uparamati, diksha, shraddha, samadhanam, all that. So dhammaha will be discussed in 4 verses from the next one, shloka 128. Let us read.
Brahmacharyadi birdharmaihi buddhe doshani vrittaye dandanam dhamayityahuho dharma shabdartha kovidaha.
So in Tattva Bodha, Dhamma was given one definition, whereas here Acharya gives 2 definitions. Tattva Bodha definitions comes in next shloka. A new definition is given here. What is that? When we deliberately practice these 18 virtues, we discipline the mind, because normally the mind is what? It's a wavering mind. Entertains all types of involuntary thoughts. It is like a forest.
We ourselves don't know what all thoughts come. Our effort to discipline the mind, the practice of discipline, or with the help of the 18 virtues, that is called Dhamma. So if the practice of the 18 virtues is Dhamma, then what is Shama? Both look the same if you really look at it. Practice of the 18 virtues is Dhamma, then what is Shama? We already went through that 18. So there is a small fine difference. The practice is called Dhamma and the result is called Shama. And why do we insist on practice? It is not enough that one knows the 18 virtues. I know what are the 18 virtues. Which ones do you practice? I won't practice. I know that very well. But knowledge will not give me any benefit. They are meant for practice. And this practice is called Dhamma. That is why Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. One has to practice Dharma. The result is called Shama. Deliberate disciplining is Dhamma. The natural discipline that is there is called Shama. So for a person who has attained Shama, these values are normally there. A person who is in Dhamma is deliberately practicing that. For one, it is a sadhana. For the other person, it is spontaneous. Therefore, he says, buddhehe dosha nivrittaye, to free the mind from its instinctive deficiencies or flaws. Dosha means what? Flaw. Mistakes, deficiency, problems like anger, worry, anxiety, they are natural to us. We don't have to sit and worry. You don't have to sit in Padmasana and Sucho Deshe Pradishtapya. Why are you sitting? I want to practice worry. No need. You don't require any preparation. Worry is natural. All these weaknesses of the mind, I have to deliberately push them out. When I push, they go away. But they come back again through another door. Therefore, it requires repeated practice, not just once or twice. It requires anxiety, worry, fear, hatred, depression, inferiority complex, all are mental doshaha. So, nivrittaye, eliminate these mental blocks. Dandanam, dandanam means practicing the discipline of the mind with the help of these 13 virtues. So, brahmacharyadibhi. Why does he say brahmacharyam? Because that is the first virtue he enumerated. Therefore, he says, brahmacharya adibihi. Brahmacharyam and all, the 18 values, beginning from brahmacharya. Dharmaihi. Dharma here means values or virtues. Dandanam, disciplining the mind. Therefore, each virtue is like a cane the police keeps. Similarly, we have to keep these 18 canes and go on punishing the mind when these problems come. Dandanam, Dhamaha Ityahuhu. In simple English, practice of mental discipline is called Dhamma. The success that follows that is called Shama. When you practice mental discipline, the success one reaps out is Shama. This meaning is only in Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. And now he gives the regular definition from Tattva Bodham that we will read in the next shloka, shloka 129. Tattat vritti nirodhenam bahyendriya vinigrahaham yogino dama ityahuho manasashanti sadhanam. So this is the popular definition of dhamma. If you remember Tattva Bodha, there we ask the question, shamakkaha mano nigraha, dhamakkaha indriya nigraha, all those questions were asked and the definitions were given. What is shama, what is dhamma, mind control and also sense organs control, indriya nigraha. So indriya here, sense organs, nigraha, discipline. Therefore dhamma means sensory discipline and shama means mental discipline. So dhamma is sensory discipline because just as the mind wavers, the sense organs also run all over. Like a 1 or 2 year old baby goes all over, it runs all over and pulls everything. Handling one baby itself is difficult. And we have to handle how many? 5 plus 5, 5 jnanendriyas and 5 karmendriyas. All of them are continuously doing something or the other. Even the hand will not remain still for many people in one place. If there is a piece of paper, they will tear it. If there is a pencil, it will be eaten. In schools and all, we have seen people doing it, children. Or nail biting. These are all what? Cheshta are the sense organs. That is why when children are asked to chant or recite, they say, fold your hands like this. This is important. Don't do anything else. We can keep like this on the head also. The tatparyam is what? Not in where you keep, the tatparyam is where you keep the hand. The thing, tatparyam is not to do anything else. Or you keep like that. That is also nice because then they are not prone to any cheshta, any mischiefs and all. Therefore, he says, tattad vritti nirodhena. Vritti means the movement of the sense organs. Vritti literally means pravritti or functioning. What is the function of sense organs? Move around in its field. The eyes will move in the field of forms and colors. Ears will move in the field of sound. Thus, each sense organ has got its own field. In that field, they keep on roaming, keep on wandering or loitering. And they wander. Often it is harmless. But there are some occasions where the object can trigger either raga or dvesha. And the mind keep on wandering, it's okay. But the object it comes across may create raga or dvesha. Any object is a potential generator of either like or dislike. Once the object is liked or disliked, it will sit in the mind. That is why the object is known by two different words in Sanskrit. When it is a neutral object, where I have neither like or dislike, I look at the object enters my mind, I turn away, nothing it does. For the object also, out of sight is out of mind. All those objects are called neutral objects. In Sanskrit, they are called padartha. But there are some objects capable of creating either like or dislike, raga or dvesha. And what is the indication? When I look at it, it will enter into my mind. And when I look it in another direction, the object will also sit like some, tenants. Swamiji gives the example. Tenants who occupy your house, they never vacate. So these objects also don't vacate the mind. Similarly, many objects are tenants without our permission. They refuse to vacate. You should be careful. Therefore, he says, learn to restrain the sense organs. When the object is no more neutral, but it sits in the mind and disturbs it, it is called Vishayaha. So, Padartha and Vishayaha. Vishayaha means it will occupy your mind. Padartha means it will enter and go like a courier fellow. You know, he comes, delivers something and just leaves. You don't sit and meditate on this guy. But there are certain things which are capable of binding. They are called Vishayaha. And the warning given is what? When Padartha is turning to Vishaya, a red light should be burning. And you should withdraw the sense organs. And if the object is still there in the mind, we have to displace that object. Remember the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. So that the Dhyayato Vishayan. So therefore, Vritti Nirodha. Withdrawing the sense organs from potential Vishayaha, tempting object. So, and the philosophy of all advertisements is what? They have to tempt us. Then you will buy that object. If there is a constant fight between all the business people, the sellers, that is why they are called commercials. When what we called the advertisement before, nowadays they call it as commercial. Every board on the street is trying to hook everyone. Therefore, tattad vritti nirodhena. Nirodha means restraining those sensory functions. Bahya indriya nigraha. So restraining the external sense organs, bahyendriyas. The sense organs are called external because mind is an internal organ, antarindriyam. Compared to the mind which is internal, sense organs are called external because sense organs can contact the world directly. Mind cannot contact the world directly. Mind can contact the world only through the sense organs. Therefore, mind is considered antarindriyam, internal organ. Sense organs are called bahyendriyam, vinigraha, yoginaha, all the spiritual masters, dhamma iti ahuhu, all the sensory disciplines as dhamma. So, in Ashtanga Yoga Patanjali, it is called pratyahara. Ahara means not food here. Ahara means withdrawal. Pratyahara means withdrawal of sense organs from the tempting sense objects. Pratyahara or dhamma. And why this is important? He says, dhamma is a very important thing because for shama, mental peace. Why? What is the logic? Because when Dhamma is not there, sense organs will push sense objects inside. Sense organs will push sense objects inside the mind. And when they are pushed inside, and raga and dvesha, they get generated. Raga dvesha is likes and dislikes. Raga dvesha will not allow the mind to remain quiet. It will push the mind. It will say, go shopping, go shopping. It will push you into shopping. Therefore, stop over shopping. That is Shankaracharya's advice. Therefore, manasaha shanti sadhanam. Shanti means he has shama. That means it is the means of mental peace. Shloka 130. Indriyeshvindriyartheshu pravrtheshu yadrichaya anudha avatitan evam manovayumivanalaham. These are all nice ideas borrowed from the Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, Krishna said, Indriyanam hi charatam yanmanoti vidiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayurnava ivambasi. The same example is also given here. Indriyeshu pravarteshu. So, when the sense organs are engaged in the external field, pravritta means external, engaged in the external field. Yadrichaya. Yadrichaya means by chance, not by your will, by chance. Not that I wanted to see, but the object fell within the range of my sense organs without my willing or planning. But after it has fallen within the range, whether I should remain in the field or turn away is not dependent on yadricha, but it is dependent on my will. If I don't use the will to discipline, what will happen? The mind will begin to run. Therefore, he says, manaha thani anudhavati. The mind will run after those sense objects which are capable of generating either raga or dvesha. Anudhavati. Like what? Manaha. Anudhavati vayum iva analaha. Analaha means what? The forest fire. Anal. Initially, the forest fire comes because of some wind and the friction of two dried trees perhaps are fixed. So, in the forest, because of the friction, the flame comes. That is by chance. And thereafter, the direction of the flame is determined by what? By the wind. And just as the fire travels along with the wind, the mind also will begin to travel along with the sense organs, along with the sense objects, along with raga and dvesha, along with emotional disturbances. The mind is no more my instrument. I have become a slave of the mind and all the sense organs. Therefore, never allow such a situation to arise. That is Acharya's warning. Shloka 131. Indriyeshu viruddheshu tyaktva vegam manasvayam sattva bhavam upadatte prasadastena jayate prasanne sati chittesya mukti siddhyati nanyatham. So, the previous shloka and this shloka are complementary shlokas. The previous shloka talked about the consequences when the sense organs are not disciplined. And this shloka talks about the positive benefits if the sense organs are mastered. The previous one is Vyatireka. This shloka is Anvaya. Anvaya Vyatireka logic, we have seen that several times. So, previous shloka is Vyatireka. This is Anvaya. So, indriyeshu, niruddheshu, when the sense organs are restrained. Actually, in Kathopanishad, where life itself is compared to a journey, the physical body is the rathakalpana, that section. The physical body is the chariot, the sense organs are the horses, mind is the reins which control the horses, intellect is the driver who has to handle the reins, and jivatma is the traveler. In that rathakalpana, in the Kathopanishad. Therefore, sense organs must be controlled by the mind. The mind must be instructed by the intellect. And when the intellect is informed intellect and gives the right instructions to the mind and the mind appropriately restrains sense organs, what will happen? Tyaktva vegam manasvayam. The mind will drop its passion. Vegam means what here? The momentum of the mind. Because of which momentum I am caught in what? The external world of raga dvesha vishaya. So all those things I am caught. The momentum, the momentum of the mind. Because of, so that is reduced. the passion for things that gets diluted. So mind loses its momentum, which represents rajoguna of the mind. The rajoguna of the mind is diluted and it will be replaced by what? Sattvaguna. The momentum represents the rajoguna. And that will be replaced by sattvaguna. A mind which is relaxed, which is calm, which is constrained, and which is available for my job. So sattva bhavam upadatte. Sometimes it happens in certain families, there is only, for example, this is very common in India, there is only one car and there is always a fight, always there is a competition. And when I want the car, it will not be available. Either the spouse has taken, children has taken, whatever it is. Similarly, the mind is like a car. I want to use it. One car and five sense organs are there, constantly keeping the mind captive. And what is the net result? When I want the car, it is not available. That means the mind is not available for Shravanam. It may not be available for anything also. Therefore, Sattva Bhavam Upadatte. Mind becomes calm. And Tena Prasadaha Jayate. The mind becomes Sattvic. Tena Prasadaha is Sattvic mind. And because Sattvic conditions of the mind becomes tranquil. Prasadaha means tranquility of the mind is the result. And a tranquil mind is available for what? For doing my task. That means the mind can be engaged in Shravanam, in Mananam and Nididhyasanam. For Mananam and Nididhyasanam, we require greater control. For Shravanam, I don't require that much control because a guru is available. And he is talking and sometimes raising his voice also so that I can't sleep. Therefore, because of an external factor, the mind can concentrate. But when I have to do mananam by myself, one will find often that the mind is not available. For mananam, the self-control required is more. And if it is nididhyasanam, it is even more. And if it is a nididhyasana with closed eyes, it becomes extremely difficult because I don't have external support like a guru. Mind has to find enough strength and control to dwell on that only. And generally, people find that there are so many family members. They are there, march fasting here and there. You sit closing your eyes, somebody walking across this way, that way, all that thing. They won't leave us alone. They'll be talking and walking also. Therefore, closed eye meditation is the toughest form of nididhyasanam. Many people can read notes, listen to CDs, all that. They are all controlled by external factors. In closed eye meditation, I should have enough mastery to direct the mind in the field that I want. That is the biggest challenge, worth trying to find out where I stand in Sama. Best examination to know where I am in closed eye meditation. Therefore, prasanne sati. When the mind is at my disposal, muktihi karabhalayate. You have to add this sentence here. Shravanam, mananam and nididhyasana becomes possible and efficient also. Otherwise, it will listen for 5 minutes. Then it will go around. Who all have come here? What dress are they wearing? All those things will be going on. Just wandering for a few minutes. Again, poor teacher says something. Let us listen to him also. So listen, wander. This continues during the classes also. Similarly, meditation also. When the mind is under my control, all these happen 100%. For such a mind, muktihi, mokshaha, is karaphalayate. It is like a fruit on the palm, easily available. Moksha is handily available. All because of what? Sensory control. Therefore, know the significance of Dhamma. So with this, the topic of Dhamma is over. Then comes the next topic of Titiksha. So Shama is over, Dhamma is over, next is Titiksha. You know, Samadhi Shatka Sampatti. So Viveka, Vairagya were over. And in Samadhamadhi Shatka Sampatti, 6 values, Shama is over, Dhamma is over. Now we are going to talk about Titiksha. Next is topic in Shloka 137. Adhyatmikadi yad dukkham praptam prarabdha vegataha achintaya tatsahanam titikshethi nigadhyate. So in Tattvabodha, we studied Samadhi Shatka Sampatti, that the 6 disciplines were enumerated in a particular order. And what is the Tattvabodha order, if you remember? Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, then titiksha. So the third one was uparama and the fourth one was titiksha. Whereas in Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, the present text, the third and fourth are reversed. Third is titiksha, uparama comes as the fourth later. Uparama is also handled very, very elaborately. So titiksha topic is from shlokas 137 to 149, 13 verses. We are only taking 5 of them for our discussion. And what is titiksha? It can be roughly translated as tolerance or endurance. Tolerance or endurance of what? Acharya says all forms of pain or dukkham. Tolerance of dukkham, dukkha sahishnutva is called titiksha. Dukkha sahana shakti is called titiksha. Endurance of pain, both physical pain as well as internal mental pain. And this endurance is a required discipline because life involves opposite experiences, both pleasurable as well as painful experiences. Not only are both involved, we have no means of knowing the sequence and the intensity of pleasure and pain also. We have no knowledge of what is going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea what is going to happen 1 hour from now. Shankaracharya says, prarabdha vegata. Because of the momentum or the force or the current of prarabdha, that is the best translation actually, prarabdha vegata. So because of the current of the prarabdha, painful experiences are also bound to come. Also the intensity, we have no way of knowing also. Since it is an integral part of life, intelligence is preparation, caution, insurance. That is that. Not an external insurance, but mental insurance. Money cannot do anything to the mind, cannot help the mind. Therefore, the only insurance is titiksha, or increasing the level of endurance or tolerance. And they, if they are higher, what will happen? Will those pains come or not? Prarabdha will continuously generate pains and pleasures. We cannot touch that because we don't even know what it is. It will get crash on us. Prarabdha vegataha. Since the external pains are unpredictable and therefore uncontrollable, we have to control our mind only. Since the world cannot be controlled by us, direct all our efforts to handle the mind. Whose mind? Our mind. Not the children's mind, not the spouse's mind. Our own mind. We cannot control others' mind. When our own mind doesn't listen to our instructions, where is the question of controlling somebody else's mind? Therefore, put all your effort in handling your own mind. And handling the mind is building up endurance or tolerance. Swamiji says, India is the best country to build up tolerance. Anybody in the world, if they want to build up tolerance, survey for 1 month in India, then they can. They will build it up. Now, jokingly, Swamiji makes such remarks. Now the question is, what is the advantage of increasing endurance or tolerance? It's a twofold advantage. The immediate advantage is the strain caused by the pain will be diluted or reduced. Pain can cause strain in our body and mind. That strain will get diluted. The amount of pain remaining the same, a person with greater titiksha, endurance, will feel lesser strain. A person with lesser titiksha will feel greater strain with titiksha when it is less. So, therefore, the intensity of strain is inversely proportional to titiksha, the ability to endure. Even as you increase titiksha, the adverse impact on the mind and body will come down. Therefore, what is the immediate benefit? Reduction of strain. And because of the reduction of the strain in the mind, we get twofold benefits. One is we can avoid impulsive and violent reactions. When the strain is more, the mind reacts impulsively and violently, which carries great risk. All violent reactions, all impulsive reactions carry great risk for whom? For both ourselves, our family, our interests, everything we are putting in risk. We don't know what is going to happen. Therefore, one benefit is reduction of violent and impulsive reaction, which means I can follow the value of ahimsa more and more. As the titiksha increases, I am able to follow ahimsa more and more. When titiksha decreases, I will follow more and more of himsa, not ahimsa. Verbal himsa or physical himsa, which is going to produce more papam. Kamayesha, krodayesha, rajoguna samudbhavaha, mahashano, mahapapa. Papma means papam. Therefore, lesser the titiksha, more papam. I am yearning. Greater the titiksha, less papam. And more papa means obstacles to moksha. So one benefit is reduction in impulsive and violent responses. And the second positive benefit is when the mind is trained less, the mind is available for other constructive activities. When the mind is strained too much, it cannot engage in anything because the mind will be constantly grumbling. Some people talk to themselves also grumbling. A grumbling mind is not available for any job. So when titiksha is more, strain is less, grumbling is less, and the mind is available for constructive activities. Thus, so many benefits are there because of titiksha. Therefore, it is a very, very important virtue. That is why Lord Krishna highlighted it actually in the second chapter itself. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkadaha agama apayino nityas tantitiksha swabharata. This is the principle of titiksha. Now if you look at the shloka, I will conclude this shloka. I'll take a couple of minutes. Prarabdha vegataha dukkam praptam. Because of the flow of prarabdha, pain comes in life. We don't say pains alone will come. Pleasurable experiences also will come. Acharya doesn't talk about that because in the context of titiksha, I need to talk of endurance. Endure your pleasure. That I don't have to say. Therefore, he doesn't talk about endurance of pleasure. The pains are divided actually three types of pains. Adhyatmikam, we are familiar with this. Adhyatmikam, Adhibhautikam and Adhidaivikam. Adhyatmikam pains coming from our own body, mind, sense organs. Some old painful memories may come. In the past, many good things have happened. But sometimes mind has very selective amnesia also. It only remembers painful memories. This is called Adhyatmika Dukkham. The source of Dukkham is my own body, mind, sense complex. This is Adhyatmika Dukkham. And Adhibhautikam, when the pain is caused by surrounding living beings. Bhuta means not Panchabhutas. Bhuta means Praninaha. It can be people, it can be animals, mosquitoes even, most important. All of them will come under Adhibhautika Dukkham. Then the last one is Adhidaivikam, that means all natural forces. Because of too much heat, too much cold, summer heat, all that. Natural calamities like more rain, less rain, earthquake, storm, hurricanes. They are called Adhidaivikam because all natural forces are presided over by devatas. Here the word Deva represents natural forces. So when summer heat is high, it is Surya Devata. Therefore, Adhidaivika Dukkham. So all these three will continuously come. And what is our job? Given in the second line, Tat Sahanam. Developing the endurance to go through them. Of course, we admit the fact that we can avoid many of the pains by taking appropriate remedy. Like for example, illness. When it causes pain, we need not be fatalistic. We can take to remedy. Either Laukika remedy or even Shastriya remedy like, you know, Prayasita Karmas, all one can do also. We can use our resources to ward off many of the Dukkhams. Vedanta never says you should not or that we should go through all the pains. Bhagavan has given the capacity to avoid also. But there are some pains which become unavoidable. Tasmatam aparihariyate natvam sochitum arhati. That's what Krishna said. Many can be avoided by remedial measures. But there are many unavoidable things also. That is why we divide prarabdham also into durbala prarabdham and prabala prarabdham, weaker prarabdham and stronger prarabdham. Therefore, whenever such pains are there, we have to choose to use them as an opportunity to develop endurance. Always choose some pains for developing the tolerance. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, we are going to see it, diseases can be used as an opportunity to develop endurance. Once I use them, when unavoidable problems come, I have titiksha handy. Therefore, I know to ignore them. So learn to endure some of the pains either of your choice or of Bhagavataha choice. My choice means even when I can remedy that, I choose not to and let me go through that. Choose some pains voluntarily to develop titiksha. Or if you don't choose, then Bhagavan will certainly choose and he will give. No doctor will say, there are four different medicines for this. If you take this medicine, this problem will go. But it will be replaced by another problem, medicine number two. It will also cure it, but it will create another side problem. What is your choice? Which problem you want? Because many painkillers or and all you take it, it will lead to stomach problem, that problem, this problem, steroids, you take so many other consequences. Therefore, do you want disease or side effect? What a choice. Choose whatever. Doctors may say. So either disease or side effect. And choose it or not use it, you know, it's your choice. And use it for what? Use it for building titiksha. If you start practicing early, we will be well prepared for our later life. And therefore, tat sahanam. Then Shankaracharya puts a condition. While we decide to endure the pain, make sure that you don't grumble. Avoid both external and internal grumbling. Achintaya. Without worrying too much about it. Without dwelling on it all the time. That is called achintaya. Same idea also we saw in Viveka Chudamani. I don't know, just to remind the shloka. Sadhanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam titikshani gatyate. So there Shankaracharya gives one more point. Sometimes the pain comes through some other person also. Then according to Vedanta, this is important because in life we go through many such situations. The person, when that thing comes, according to Vedanta, the person is not the cause of the pain, but our own karma is the cause of the pain. The person is only a medium. The person is the postman carrying it to hand it over to us. And since that person is not responsible, avoid hatred of that person. It is our own prarabdha karma. Even the thought of revenge is to be avoided. Never curse anyone. Therefore, apratikara purvakam. Apratikara means revenge, retaliation. Don't entertain those thoughts at all. Oh, that person hurt me. He said something of bad of me. All those things. I will get even with him. I will take revenge on him. I will be avengeful. None of those. You may not be able to love him or her. That may be possible. It may be difficult. At least avoid developing hatred. Advesta sarvabhutanam is our ultimate goal, as Krishna said. Therefore, no revenge idea, no grumbling idea, and enduring at least some of the difficult situation, even though not all situations. This is called practice of titiksha iti nigadhyate. So we will continue with Shloka 141 in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna arpanamastu narayana.